I'm Brian Burkhart with the WEKU Daily News Podcast for April 29, 2026. U.S. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky plans to sponsor a bill to allow construction of a new White House ballroom. As Lisa Autry reports, there's renewed interest in the project following a security scare over the weekend.
Critics argue the proposed ballroom is a vanity project, but following the assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, President Trump says the ballroom is needed as a safer alternative for large gatherings that include many government leaders. The event was held at the Washington Hilton Hotel, but the president argues if a presidential ballroom had been adjacent to the White House, the gunman wouldn't have gotten inside. Senator Paul, a member of the National Capital Planning Commission, says he'll introduce a bill to proceed with the project using private funds. The Bowling Green Republican says his legislation would also expedite the congressional review process for major White House projects going forward. Construction of the ballroom was blocked earlier this month by a federal judge who said Trump had not received approval from Congress. I'm Lisa Autry in Bowling Green.
A team of researchers from the University of Kentucky is working on a way to eliminate an invasive pest that's harmful to some of the state's crops. The four-year project is utilizing a method known as RNA interference to control fall armyworms, a type of caterpillar that feeds on crops such as wheat and corn. Felipe Batista is an entomologist with UK's Research Center in Princeton. He says research like this is needed to keep up with the pest's ability to quickly adapt.
Pests are always fighting against the control methods that we have. And then any new technology, it's helpful.
RNA interference targets specific genes in a pest and shuts down a key survival function. The team at UK is currently seeing around 60% success rate in its first year of the project, with a goal of 100% success in the future. Madison County Clerk Kenny Barger met with community members on Monday night at the library. Lily Burris was there for the meeting.
Barger shared with attendees how elections have changed over the years to become more efficient for voters. That includes developments like electronic voting machines and the ability to vote at any location. He also answered questions from attendees about issues like election interference and intimidation. He pointed them to what he considers the people with the most power to impact an election, state legislators.
All the laws in the state are made and changed by state legislators. So just because we have 3 days of early voting now doesn't mean we will always have 3 days of early voting. We voted the same way previous to COVID that we did for over 100 years.
He encouraged people to get involved with elections as poll workers, something the county needs. He said he was glad for the opportunity to speak with the community ahead of the primary election. I'm Lily Burris in Richmond.
Earlier this year, 36 Lexington residents met for a month-long civic assembly to discuss potential changes to the city's charter. Members of that group presented their recommendations to city council members yesterday. The assembly's recommendations include requiring the charter, which is similar to a city's constitution, to be reviewed every 8 years. They also recommended increasing council member pay while adding more accountability measures. But those recommendations didn't pass through the group unanimously. Bob Smith, a member of the assembly, said they had the most discussion over a proposed pay increase.
The dissent was based not wanting to make the position appealing as a lifelong job. We don't need more 50-year councilmen like in Congress. And we really don't want to make this so appealing that you can feel like this can be a lifetime position for you.
Once the language is finalized, the council members will take a vote in June on whether to agree to these recommendations. If they're approved, they'll be put on a ballot for a residential vote in November. Eastern Kentucky's traditional coal-producing counties have lost the most population in the region, according to census estimates released in March. On the next Eastern Standard, Sarah Mallett, who heads the Daily Yonder Data newsletter, talks about what's driving the decline. Among other questions, are people leaving because of a lack of resources, or is the lack of resources driving people away?
I think that it's intuitive that the relationship probably goes both ways in a manner that exacerbates both population decline and resource access.
Mallett says the region suffers from a drain of teachers, nurses, and librarians, and that creates a lack of essential services. The lack of essential services can draw more people away in turn. To find out more, listen to Eastern Standard tomorrow on WEKU, and online at weku.org. For WEKU News, I'm Brian Burkhart.